Hello to each and every one of you out there in Radio Land. My name is Linda Sims. The name of the show is called A Voice of a People, live here on WGH Talk Radio. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. Or you can download a free app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH. Or call in during a live broadcast by calling 740-383-9944. Again, that call-in number is 740-383-9944. If you have any questions or would like to make any comments or just be a part of our conversation, please call 740-383-9944. We had a nice rain overnight, and I guess it's going to be up in the 90s, low 90s today here in Marion, Ohio. So everybody be careful out there, especially those of you who have breathing problems, you know, need oxygen or things like that. So be careful out there in the weather today. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappies Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC of 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Number there is 740-382-8552. We have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson of 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Number there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement. Free produce every third Saturday of every month. The next will take place September the 16th of 2023. It begins at 12 noon until 2 p.m. And don't forget that they have a wellness fitness walk area adjacent to their church on 582 Lee Street. And it is open to the public. I think it's 8 trips around and you make a mile. I did one lap. But it's a nice area. It really is. We also have Cheryl Lee. She is the coordinator of Child Evangelism Fellowship, known as Good News Clubs, faith-based after-school programs located in all of our Marion City and County schools, along with North Union and City and County Elementary Schools. Cheryl Lee can be contacted at 740-262-0939. And when I say located in all of Marion City and County, that's elementary schools. Okay. Now, I'd like to start my show off with a thought for today. This thought is titled Optimistic Outlook. Let's see what it has to say for us today. Optimism opens a door in difficult or hopeless situations. No matter what the crisis, an optimist maintains the outlook that it is a sign, time for a different way of thinking or of doing things. Sometimes the signals has to be very clear, even harsh. Otherwise, we may continue in self-delusion and not wake up. Of course, if we lack optimism, instead of taking this signal as a step towards renaissance, complaint, resentment, or even desperation will emerge. Okay, optimistic outlook. I think I'm an optimistic person. How are you doing today? Glenn Coble, our guest today. He is running for mayor on the Democratic ticket.
Yeah, I'm very optimistic as well.
Amen. Amen. You have to be. Yes.
Yeah, that's the way I've had my life. And there are people that say to me, well, how can you be optimistic about this or that? Well, this or that, the bad things, they'll pass. And I keep on keeping on. So true. If I stay optimistic, I'm a lot more comfortable with myself.
Right, you have to be, because you're looking for the better.
Yeah,
always.
Always, yeah.
Yes.
I don't know why people want to go back. I think we should always move forward. And, you know, a lot of people think that's a dirty word, progressive, and that's
really
kind of what I am.
Well, One good thing about that is time doesn't go backwards.
No, it
does
not.
It keeps moving forward, right?
Yeah, it sure does.
Every day is a new day.
It's become a bad word because it's a label that people use on people like me who are politically left, I guess you'd call it.
Right.
But it's interesting. I've been out this week putting signs out. And by the way, if any of your listeners want me to put a sign in their front yard, I'm going to give you my my campaign email address here, and you can just email me your street address, and I'll stop by and plant one in your front yard. It's glenncobleformayor@gmail.com. And I said that quickly because I got to get back and tell you. It's Glenn Coble, GlennCoble, 4, the number 4, mayor, at gmail.com. So it's glenncobleformayor@gmail.com. And I'll be glad to, you know, if you're not home, I'll just post it in your yard and you can put it wherever you want to. I put maybe a dozen out this week.
Okay.
And the people are all very kind. And I met a lot of really nice people who were anxious to put it in their yard. I think I mentioned this before we went on the air. I walked up to one place and he had a Trump sign on his front porch. Now, obviously, being a Democrat, I'm not a big Trump fan.
Right.
But I said, well, you want my sign for real? Oh, yeah. We just got that from somebody that wanted us to post it. We're not going to post it. So I'll post my sign in this lady's yard. And I guess I beat Trump on that one.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Now he's going to have an interesting day today, turning himself in. He's being arrested in Georgia, and it's amazing where the United States has come. You're not as old as I am, and if you were, you'd even be more flabbergasted than you are at your age to see an American president being arrested for the fourth time.
Fourth time. Can you believe that?
Yeah. That doesn't even include the rape charge, civil charges, and all the other things that have gone wrong. And I hope we get through this with no problem. I don't wish Mr. Trump ill.
No.
I think we just have to move on and leave him behind.
Well, you know, they elected him, and they knew his character, but they didn't care.
Well, I'm a strong believer in one vote for one person.
Yes.
And that's why I was kind of against the Electoral College, which is what he got to be president with. He didn't win the popular vote. He won the Electoral College
vote.
Right. And if we had one person, one vote, he wouldn't have won. And I think we ought to look seriously into that type of ruling. I understand it was done 200 years ago when landowners were really the only voters, you know, people of your color had no vote. As
right.
a matter of fact, you were probably enslaved. And matter of fact, I think two of the four gentlemen who have had their faces chiseled on Mount Rushmore owned slaves, which has always shocked me. We keep moving forward. Let's keep on
it's
moving forward.
Part of our
forward.
History. Can't change it.
Yeah.
You know?
We shouldn't try. We should move forward. There are things when you move forward that are probably not good, but you find out that they're not good and you change it. And you,
true.
And you continue to move forward in another direction. So that's kind of where my political aspirations are in Marion, is to keep Marion moving forward.
Amen.
We've done a pretty good job downtown. Our downtown is starting to look better and better.
Oh, yes.
And I can't remember the word I'm looking for. I give the credit to Mayor Schertzer and also our city council. Many of the members of the city council who are members of the opposite party from me, many of them have helped to create a much better looking downtown.
Good.
And continue to do it.
We need that.
Yeah. I have a gentleman on my, I kind of call it a kitchen cabinet. He used to be one of my regular guests here when I had a show here. He's one of the leaders of the community in the Historical Society, Fred Malone. Mm-hmm. He constantly is thinking ahead, and I've always liked Fred for that. He never berates people. He never goes back and says, oh, we should have done this or that. We just keep moving forward. And I told him the other day, I said, you're one of my best friends here, if not my best friend, in Marion, because I like his attitude.
Right. He still remains a guest. On my show.
He's a good guest.
Yes, he is a good
guest.
He
is well read.
Yes, yeah. He is.
I wish I were that well read.
Oh, me too, but someone has to carry that label on them, and he's the one that does,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And Dan Stahl as well. He's good, too. Yeah, he has a lot of that history in him.
I met former Governor Celeste through Fred. And Governor Celeste was on downtown helping Mary Ellen Withrow open. Well, I'm not sure she was helping her open her museum down there in the historical center, but he was just there to help and also to drum up business for his new book, which is very interesting.
Okay.
I've only gotten through the first few pages, being a non-reader, and I want you to know that I'm not stupid.
Right.
I'm a little dyslexic, so I don't read. I usually try to find my books on audiobooks and read them that way. That's the way I read the entire Warren, about 2 years ago, they were doing a study on Trump and what was going on, the Warren Report.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I don't know, it took about, it probably took 10 days to listen to the entire audiobook on it.
Right.
But that's the way I read. I some of us have to read with our ears. Some of us have to read with our fingertips.
That's true. That's
so most true. Of us get to read by looking, but I don't do that so well. Anyway. But I'll give you that address again. I want to give it one
Go
more
ahead.
Time so that people,
as many times
they probably
want.
Forgot. Glenn Coble, GLENNCOBLE, 4, the number 4, mayor, @gmail.com. And please, just send me a little note saying my address is, and I'll drop a banner out in your front yard. We're going to be in the Popcorn Festival.
Oh, you
right?
are.
The entire Democratic Club is going to be in that. We have a float, I guess, that they're putting together. I found out that I cannot drive my little car with my little doggy, which everybody will see as my posters go up. They'll see my little puppy dog is in my poster picture. His name is Buddy, by the way.
Okay.
I didn't name him Buddy. It's just what his name was. He's a shelter dog,
okay.
And that's what his name was when we got him. But so they won't let a person who is not a current official drive a car. If you're a candidate, they won't let you drive a car.
So you have to ride on the float.
So you have to ride on the float, yeah.
Oh, nothing wrong with that.
Oh, I don't mind that.
Right. Yeah. At least you'll be seen and,
yeah.
You know.
I hope everybody shows up. I've always loved the Popcorn Festival.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people say, oh, it's a pain in the neck and blah, blah, blah. And it's not a pain in the neck. It's just something we do so that we can get together as a community.
Absolutely.
And the communities around us.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
I think a lot of people criticize it unjustly.
I do too. And I think, you know, because they reroute traffic and things like that. You
well,
know,
I understand. They lose business, some of the people downtown, and that's kind of tough, but especially at back-to-school time for some of them. But it's only a matter of 3 days.
Right. And they're all like, downtown is mostly restaurants anyway.
Restaurants and bars, yeah.
Yes. I can't see them losing too much money.
Now, the city council, which has approved the DORA, area. Have you read about that yet?
No, what is
it? It's an area where you can take, if you're having a cocktail or a beer or something like that, you can,
Dora. Okay.
Yeah, you can take it out of the restaurant that you're in and walk to another one out on the main streets without being arrested for public intoxication. Or you can still get arrested for public intoxication.
As long as you can walk, right?
Yeah. Please walk carefully.
Yes.
It's an area, it's down around the courthouse and the county building and stuff like that. And it's been...
Also, is that whole, like...
Yeah, it's okay. A big area.
Okay.
It's probably, I'm guessing, 8 square blocks, something like that. And the advantage to that is that you can walk around and still maintain your, you know, if you're having a good afternoon talking with somebody and you just want to go out and get out of the wherever you are.
Right.
You can go out and you can actually sit down if you're in the Dora area and drink your beer out on a bench if there's one in that area. The Dora, I think, goes from curb to... It has to be inside the curbs. It can't be in the streets.
Okay.
And they... I think City Hall and the county building are off limits, even though they're within the... jurisdiction.
But don't walk around that.
Yeah, you're going to have to, you won't be allowed to go in there. You can walk through the parking lot, but right.
City Hall and the county building?
Yeah, I think both of those are going to be exempt.
Okay.
And if a business owner does not want people coming into their business with a beer in their hand or a cocktail or whatever they're going to do, they can post a notification that they are not supporting the Dora. It stands for Downtown Open Recreation something or other, I think is what it stands for.
But. I didn't know cities did that. Are we the only one? Or
no, there are, Delaware has an area.
Okay.
It's kind of a new thing. If you go up to Kelly's Island or something like that, those are, they probably have legalized them, but you were always able to go from one bar to another bar with a drink. But now it's legal if it's in a Dora area,
okay.
If it's been designated such by the administration of the community.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Right.
I can't just say 438 Euler Avenue is a Dora area and I can walk around it. Drunk out in my front yard.
Right, right. Unfortunately, for some people,
well,
you know,
I'd be killed by my wife if I did that anyway. So.
So she would handle that herself.
Yes.
Right? Okay. All right. Then
face definite problems.
Right. Right. So since you have come forward with your campaign. Mm-hmm. Have you seen anything new that troubles you that you would like to target as mayor if you are elected?
I've seen a lot of things that I wrote a little speech about what I'm going to, you know, you're supposed to write a 30-second or, not 30-second, a 1-minute or 2-minute speech. They call it an elevator speech so you can tell people what you're going to do. I'll just run down some of the things. I think one of the things that I put into the speech is I think we ought to look into an ethics. We do have an ethics code in the administration, but I don't think it's been followed very seriously.
Ethics code,
as
meaning?
In I will not take money to advance your ideas.
Okay,
that type of thing. I think all politicians should own up to some form of ethics requirements.
Mm-hmm.
No bribes, no...
Right.
You know, you can't shoot an airplane out of the sky and have it crash and kill your opponent like Putin just did. I really find that we have a problem in Marion with diversity. I don't believe... that Marion is only about 5% African American, maybe 6%, and even less Asian and
Hispanic.
Hispanic, yeah. And I truly believe that we ought to make people aware. We ought to try to become friends with each other. You know, you and I are of different color, and I think of you as a friend, and that I don't think of you as anything different, and I don't think there's any reason why we should think of each other as different. I'm different. My mom was different than your mom.
Oh, yeah.
But
different thoughts.
You have
different ways of doing things, you know.
You have children, families, yes, yes. Just like I do.
Right.
I was looking at they've been posting quite a bit on Facebook, this picture of this new gorilla who just had a baby gorilla.
Okay.
And the baby is so cute and loves his mama so much. And all these pictures show, you know, they're kissing each other and stuff like that. We should take our emotions back to when we were born. When I was born, I didn't know that there was a difference between white and black.
No.
If you smiled at me, I would smile back.
Right.
And that's the way we need to get. And that's one of the things that I think the city struggles a little bit with. We're pretty strong on the old white man ethic.
Right.
And I think we need to find a way to be more global, more statewide. One of the other problems that I'm fighting against is I truly believe that with the one-party system that we've developed here in Ohio, I couldn't remember what state I lived in, here in Ohio, and also the one-party system we're developing here in Marion, what that does is it opens the doors for corruption. I'm not saying all the opponents on the other side of the aisle are corrupt.
Right.
But it opens the door, a little crack, for somebody that wants to get away with something. And then if you happen to be a Democrat and your party controls the area, and the chance of you being cast down for your errors are slimmer. If you're Republican, same holds true. Yeah, I look back at Larry Householder, who was one of our senators here in, or was he a representative? Anyway, he was in the Ohio, he was the head of the Ohio Republican Party, and took a bribe of $660 million. And that's not good.
A lot of money, though.
Matter of fact, when I ran for state representative, he donated around $7,000 or $8,000 of those dollars to my opponent. Mm-hmm. And then he donated it again the following time she had to run. That type of stuff corrupts the system. If you've got people taking the money to do the will of somebody else, I think all politicians should have a brain of their own.
Absolutely.
I've had discussions with several of my students before. Does a politician vote his own feelings, or does he vote his clientele's feelings, the voters? Mm. And it's a tough question to answer. I think what you have to do, I think the politician has to determine what the right answer is, and then go that way, which means you're really voting your own feelings. But politicians have to be more concerned about the little things. They have to look into their own motivations. And a lot of politicians, their own motivation is power or money or both.
True.
And I absolutely
fame and fortune.
That. Yeah.
Glenn.
Well, the other day I was at the city council meeting and my opponent got up and he was talking about, so was the city council. They were talking about the new increased salaries for them, and as well as the four or five positions in our city government. One of them was the mayor, and the mayor's positions. And I'm not going to have the exact amount, because I really don't care, but the exact amount right now is somewhere in the mid-60s for the salary. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be increased a lot closer to $100,000 by the end of 124, I think it is. And then in the following 4 years, it's going to go up to $124,000 a year.
Wow.
Now,
that's a big jump.
Yeah, it's a huge jump. And I said to one of the people in my party, I said, do you think I ought to say what I really believe? Well, what do you really believe? Well, I've told Scott Spears on this show, on his show, that the money isn't important to me. I would take nothing. I would take half. I would take less to do the job if I could get in and do the job right. Well, this person says, well, you can't do that because the next mayor, we may be trying to hire a really good person and they'll need more money.
Right.
That has nothing to do with me. I'm really seriously considering what I can do to make the city better and not raise my salary if I win. I don't mind it. $65,000 a year is more than enough for an old retired guy who owns his home, and pretty much I've got things taken care of. So what I might try to do, and this is just in the top of my head, and I would gladly hear your listeners what they feel about it. I would gladly just leave it where it is or even take less. But I think that's not good for the future because I think they need to be able to hire. I'm not expecting to be mayor for two terms, quite frankly. I'm really expecting to go one term and try to groom somebody for the next term. But I think I could find something to donate the extra money back to the community. You know, like if they raise the salary to $75,000, $85,000 from whatever it is now, $65,000, I'll find a way to use that $20,000 to help the community. Now, the problem with that is taxes. I'll still have to pay the taxes for the higher amount of money. So there are a lot of things that I have. And I don't want to hamstring the community by saying the mayor should only take X number of dollars. I like the idea of giving the mayor a professional salary. What they're saying is that an executive in a company the size of Marion would be making $120,000, $130,000 a year. And therefore, we should make that our salary so that we can hire or vote in good people. But I don't think that ensures that you'll vote in good people.
It does not.
It just ensures you'll vote somebody in and give them a lot of money.
Right,
that's
right,
what it does.
Right. You're right. What does that have to do with it?
Yeah.
A good person.
Yeah. Now, I understand if I was 40 years old, I would want the higher amount of money just because I had three kids and to take care of and buying a new house and moving into a new area. But I've gotten all that stuff taken care of. So maybe I will concentrate on maybe helping the community in another way.
So you were saying that your opponent, which is running against you.
Yeah.
Republican ticket. He's the one who brought up the idea.
No, he didn't bring it up. He just spoke to it, and he, to his credit, he said the money wasn't important to him, and I'm glad to hear him say that. He didn't say he wouldn't take it though.
Right.
He just spoke to it. He has spoken three out of the four times I've been to the city, or three out of the six times I've been to the city council meeting. I'm not sure whether he's speaking because he wants to hear his voice or he wants other people to hear his voice as a campaign thing, or whether he truly believes in what he's saying. But I did like what he said about he didn't think the money is that important.
Okay. So have you seen anything else you would like to critique?
I'm not a negative thinker, so I don't critique in a negative way. I would like to do that about the city streets, the city. I'm concerned about having trains run through our town with basically very little legislation about what they can do.
Right.
We've found out that we can't fine them for sitting at a cross thing for an hour and a half. I mean,
right.
They can go anywhere they want and stop and stay there and block traffic for as long as they want to with no penalty.
Right.
I'd like to look into that and see if there's something we can do about that. I also am concerned about those same trains driving through the northern part of our town loaded down with things that would kill people if they came
out. Chemicals, yes.
Yeah. That's another area. I like our downtown movement. There are some parking things I'd like to rethink, but most of the stuff in this city I am proud of. I think we just need to keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
We need to find out, okay, this is wrong. We need to change that. That's right. We need to improve on that.
Right.
We need to think through things. That's really where I plan to go. More than I told our current mayor, I said, I don't know anything about being a mayor, and he basically told me it won't take you long. You have to just jump in and do it.
Right.
And that's the way I feel. I have neither my opponent nor I have any administration in a city.
Right.
Experience. We've both had administration experience, but not as a mayor or a member of the city.
Right.
His has always been in police, and I've been in several different aspects. I think that's one of my advantages, is that I've had several fields that I've been into. I've been in finance. I've been in intercollegiate athletics. I've been in writing. I've been in broadcasting. In each case, I've had one or more people that I had to administer.
Right.
In a couple of the cases, I administered several dozens of people. But I think it's good to be well-rounded. I don't like the idea of having your entire life be put in a nutshell because you don't think outside the box. You think of that one nutshell that you were raised in.
Right.
My opponent's been a cop for 37 years.
Right.
That's all he's done. And I'm not saying that's bad. It's good. I'm very happy that we have cops like that, that care about the community. But I think I'm more qualified because I've seen all sorts of situations. I also think I'm more qualified because I grew up in South Bend, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
I went to three high schools. My dad was a minister, so we moved around because he was on the rapid ladder to bishop in the Methodist Church.
Okay.
We moved around. I went to three high schools. The first one was about 35% African American. The second one was probably about 35% Jewish.
Okay.
And the third one was an old white guy's town.
Okay.
Nothing but old white guys in the town. That's the third one. So I've seen all the different sides. I remember when I moved from South Bend to Valparaiso, which is the old white guy town.
Okay.
One of my first track meets was against South Bend Central, which is the 35% black school that I went to. And a lot of them were my friends because I ran track at South Bend Central. I was sitting with some of the guys talking about stuff, and I was shocked that some of my white friends couldn't understand why I wanted to talk with my friends.
Right.
they were darker skinned than I was, but they were my friends.
Right.
And so therefore, I believe I've had an experience, a life experience, that has made me far more well-rounded than my opponent, quite frankly, or than most people in this town. And I'm not saying I'm better. I'm just saying I'm different, and I'm able to bring some things to the table that other people don't. They would if they knew, but they just don't know. You know?
Right. I understand that.
There are a lot of good people.
Of course.
Would say most people in this world. I have a very positive attitude about my fellow man, and I'd say most of them are very positive. A lot of us are. Some people say, well, what about the prejudiced? Well, if they think about it, they're prejudiced. I'm prejudiced. I noticed that you're black.
Right.
I don't hold that against you, by the way.
Thank you. I had nothing to do with that.
Oh, by the way, I'm white and old.
You had nothing to do with that.
Right. But the fact is, we're all
people.
Yeah, we're all people. We're
all human beings.
Citizens of the world.
There you go.
Yeah. And my mother loved me just like your mother loved you.
Of course. Praise God.
That's where I'm going.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're all people. Just like we were talking earlier, we all came here to die.
Yeah.
We all came here the same way, naked. We all lived the same way, naked.
Were we all naked? Holy cow. If I'd known that.
You brought nothing in. It is certainly true. You would take nothing out of this world.
Absolutely.
We haven't seen back in the Pharaoh days, they used to, in the pyramids and stuff, in caves, they would put all their favorite belongings in there with them,
yeah,
as if they were going to need it
in
the afterlife.
And some of them were alive when,
yes,
they put them in there, like their,
yes,
servants.
Yes, and it's like, okay, what are they going to do with all that stuff? Because there's no way back here once,
well,
you're gone.
What they do is they give it up to the anarchists, or
the archaeologists yes,
who dig it up and
mine
get rich.
Finds,
yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Wealth is a problem that I'd like to see us find a way around, but I'm not sure that's going to happen real soon.
Wealth?
Wealth. People who, their main, their God is the
money?
Dollar.
Yeah,
yes. Is the dollar. And I would say it's way higher than the people that believe their God is the
almighty God.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Or that they follow the dollar. They may say they don't. They follow Jesus ahead of the dollar. But I don't know a whole lot of people, if they're honest, that they don't really care an awful lot about that dollar. And having lived in church organizations for the first half of my life, I've seen an awful lot of good Methodist people that the dollar was more important than their religion.
Yeah, of course. There's, yeah, a lot of those people around.
Yeah.
You know, some of it is just for a fashion and a show.
Yeah.
There's not really no root in it, you know, just for appearance sake.
Yeah.
And that's not a good reputation for people of God, or consider themselves people of God, to have.
It's not a good reputation for a person that isn't of God.
That's true.
I think most of the atheists that I know are good people.
Mm-hmm.
They just have gone the other fork of the road. You know, that's all.
Right, right. Everyone is entitled to their own opinions.
Yeah.
Can't change that.
I guess we're entitled.
Of course. I mean, we can't get in your mind and say, okay, this is what you're going to think. This is what, yeah, you're going to be.
Well, there, you are know, some people that are pretty good at doing that. Hitler's pretty good at getting,
oh, yeah,
people's minds.
Oh, yeah.
There are people like
Donald
Hitler.
Trump.
Yeah, Donald Trump was like that.
So he really wasn't even trying at first, but it ended up that way.
Yeah.
You know?
He was really good at convincing people.
Oh, I know. He's so charismatic and,
yeah,
all that kind of stuff.
I don't understand that, but yeah, I guess
either.
He is.
I don't either. It was just the charisma he carried.
Yeah.
You know, the chanting and the ranting. And
a lot of people, I remember the really popular guys in my high school class were the guys that walked around like they owned the world and they were the best.
Right, right.
Now, I look at them 50 years, almost 60 years later, and a lot of them didn't amount to a hill of beans.
Of course not.
And
how could you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I want to ask you something about,
sure,
our former president. Do you think he has a shot as becoming president again, or even being able to run again?
I think there will be a fight about whether he's allowed to run again. And I've been listening to a lot of discussion on that. And there are legal opinions that say he is not, because of the 14th Amendment. There's a clause in there that says if you have participated in a something that goes against the Constitution, you are not allowed to run for president. And then there are people on the other side of that that say, well, freedom of speech, he's allowed to say things like that. I think he is unelectable myself.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I can't imagine, even though he's got, what, probably 70% of the Republican Party. You need all of the Republican Party, and you need some of the other party to win.
Right, right.
And so I don't think he's electable, but I hope he's not.
Yeah.
But that's, if he is, we'll try to get through that.
And even if he's not, I mean, if he runs, the thing to me is sort of like, why would he even be allowed to run after all this all this trash and mess he's been going through, and bringing shame on the nation? And it's not just him and his family, but it's about all of us. It's about even those who trusted him and cared about him. Mm-hmm. Now, he's been fourth time being arrested. He's been impeached twice. What would happen, or why would people even put him up there as far as being elected as president again?
Well, I think there's a logical reason. I think a lot of people truly believe it's a plot against him. I don't, and I don't see how you can, but there are people that honestly believe, and we all have our different opinions, and
right.
There are people that honestly believe there's a plot against Trump. I don't know how you can even fathom that, but I'll let them think that.
Right. And what does that have to do with his actual actions?
Yeah.
How does that negate or erase his actual actions?
I don't understand, quite frankly. There was no doubt about what he said when he was in that bus about grabbing women.
Right.
And yet his...
He did not deny it either.
No, uh-uh. Well, he couldn't. He said it on the air. But that type of thing, I would have thought, would have just discouraged any of my friends who are devout evangelicals to vote for him. And he's actually gotten stronger.
Yes, it did.
Yeah,
we
I don't
care
understand
about that.
That.
We just want this man.
Well, they want to have that vote against abortions, mm-hmm. and he got him that. I'll
yes,
say
he
that.
Yes,
yeah.
he did.
Even though 70% of the people in the United States are nobody's pro-abortion. I don't know a single person that says, "Oh, we ought to all go out and have an abortion."
I know. I wouldn't want to think so anyway.
No, I can't imagine anybody thinking that way, but. We think that women should have a right what goes on in their body. Most religions, a fetus is a part of the woman, mm-hmm. until it's born.
Right.
I think that's the way Jewish religion is, I believe. But most religions are that way. The fetus is nothing until it's born.
Yes, you're right.
I don't know. And then there's the feasibility. Well, if it's 3 months old in the womb, it might live, mm-hmm. so therefore it's human. But I don't understand that.
I don't either.
I'm not a doctor.
I don't either. Right now it is what it is. It's
yep.
supposed to be legal by Supreme Court decision. I'm like you. I don't condone. I mean, I try not to condone people that do that, nor do I... say, okay, you should have abortion. You should go ahead and get rid of your baby. Why would I do that? You know, because it's life. Mm-hmm. I have, four daughters, four grandchildren, and two great-grandbabies. Why mm-hmm. would I? I wouldn't want to miss any of that time
yeah.
with them. But Glenn, we are out of time.
Okay.
You have to come back again. And,
I'll be glad to.
Yes, good. We only have a few minutes left. So thank you, Glenn Coble, candidate for mayor.
Yeah.
From Marion, Ohio.
Let me give my address one
more
time.
Give your address.
Okay, my address is Glenn Coble, GlennCoble, 4, and that's the number 4, mayor@gmail.com.
Thank you.
You're listening to WWGA.